Welcome to Wildflower Tales, dear listeners, the podcast that uncovers hidden gems in literature written by women authors, names that will be both familiar and unknown. I'm your host, Jenny Dallin, and I am delighted to share these stories. I am a big fan of the classic tale and lore podcast, as well as old-time radio classics. And they've inspired me to create this podcast, which will share tales by women authors, some classic literature, and some popular fiction of their time. For today's episode, I am sharing excerpts from Carolyn Wells' humorous novel, The Eternal Feminine. Carolyn Wells is one of the women that actually deeply inspired me to start this podcast. Hers is a name so many of us who consider ourselves readers just don't know. And she was actually a prolific writer for over 40 years. She wrote over 150 books. Many were popular. She actually wrote approximately 80 that were mysteries, beginning at the turn of the 20th century and continuing into the early 1940s. She was known for her humor. She frequently contributed nonsense verse and whimsical pieces to popular magazines of the time. She's actually credited for establishing the first humor anthology. Additionally, she wrote a great many stories for children. And as I said, her biggest contribution was in the realm of mystery, which we will dive into down the road in this podcast series. But we're not doing mystery today. Instead, I'm sharing some of that humor of hers with excerpts from her very satirical novel, The Eternal Feminine. If you are someone who enjoyed Gracie Allen sketches or the writings of Irma Bombeck or Nora Ephron's lighthearted fare, you should enjoy these vignettes of real life and slightly true to life women. They're all kind of over the top, but I found it great fun. I'm not a voice actor. My reading style is very much in the vein of family read-alouds and bedtime stories. So lean back, relax, and grab a cup of tea or coffee if you can, before we head off to downtown and take care of a few errands. The Eternal Feminine at the Lost and Found Desk. Yes, that's my bag. I left it at the lace counter. Thank you. Please give it to me. What? I must prove property? What, don't you see it's mine? That twisty silver monogram on the side is really ECS. That's my name, Ella C. Saunders. I told Jim I thought the letters were too wiggly to be easily read, but I never thought anybody would want to read it but me. Describe contents. Why, of course I can describe the contents. In one pocket is a sample of lace, just plait veil, you know, not an expensive lace, and with it, I think it's with it, is a sample of rose-colored creme de chine that is not exactly rose-colored. Sort of a crushed plumish or burnt magenta, but no, come to think of it, I left those samples with my dressmaker. Well, anyways, there's a subway ticket, or let me see, did I use that coming down? I believe I did. Well, there's a little memorandum card that slips in the celluloid sort, you know. No, there's nothing written on it. I don't use it because, though they pretend you can wash them like a slate, you can't. They just smudge. What do you mean by saying I haven't told the definite thing yet? I have told you lots. Well, there's some money. I don't know how much. Some chicken feed, as Jim calls it. And a $5 bill, I think. Oh, no, I paid that to the butcher. Well, there must be $1 bill, two maybe. Oh, and there's a little pencil, a goldy-looking one. It came with the bag and some powder papers, those leaves, you know. But I believe I did use the last one yesterday at the matinee. Oh, dear, how fussy you are. I tell you, it's my bag. I recognize it myself. Can I tell you of some personal belongings in it so you'll be sure? Why, yes, of course I can. My visiting card, Mrs. James L. Saunders, is in that small inside pocket. Why didn't I tell you that in the first place? Why, you rattled me so, and besides, I thought I had to tell you of my own little individual properties like samples and tickets and things. Anybody might have a visiting card in her bag. Tootie at the bank. Oh, how do you do? Are you the paying teller? Well, that is, could I please see somebody else? You see, I've just opened an account and I want to get some of my money out. There's the loveliest hat in Featherton's window marked down to... But that's just it. If I get my money from a professional teller, he'll tell all about my private affairs and how much I pay for my hats and everything. Not at all, miss. We are called tellers because we never tell anything about our depositors' affairs. We are not allowed to. Oh, how lovely. Well then, if you won't tell, I've never drawn a check before and I don't know how. Would you help me? Certainly, but I must ask you to make haste. Have you a checkbook? Well, how curt you are. I thought you'd like to help me. Men almost always do. Yes, I have a checkbook. That other clerk gave it to me, but I don't like it and I want to exchange it. See, it has a horrid black muslin cover. Since you have any bound in gray suede with gilt edges, I'm willing to pay extra. We have no other kind, miss. How much money do you want? Why, I don't know. You see, Daddy put $1,000 in this bank for me. I suppose I may as well take it all at once. What do you think?
I think probably your father meant for you to take only a part of it at a time.
Yes, I think so too. He said it would teach me business habits. He chose this bank because you have a special department for ladies. But if this is it, I don't think much of it. To be sure, the plate glass and mahogany are right, but it looks like put up complete for $74.99. Don't you think Mission furniture and chintz would be cozier? Yes, yes, I'll draw my check. Do give me a moment to draw my breath first. You see, I'm not used to these things. Why, with a real bank account of my own, I feel like an organized charity. I suppose I ought to hunt up some worthy poor. Well, I'll just get that hat first. Now let me see. Oh, yes, of course, you may help me, but I want to do the actual drawing myself. It's the only way to learn. Why, when I took art lessons, I made a burnt wood sofa pillow all myself. The teacher just stood and looked at me. He said I had fate-sealing eyes. Why, you're looking at my eyes just the way he did. You seem so rattled. Why do you? Don't you know how to draw a check either?
Oh, yes, indeed. I've drawn millions of checks.
Millions of checks? How exciting! What do you do with all your money?
Oh, it isn't my money, you know.
Aren't you ashamed to be drawing millions and billions of other people's money? I have a friend who was engaged to a bank president who got caught drawing checks.
Excuse me, but how much money do you want to draw?
How much is it customary for ladies to draw?
Well, that depends on how much they need.
Oh, I see. People in need draw more than those in comfortable circumstances, I suppose. I am not exactly what would be called a needy person. Since I left school, of course, I have my own allowance. Do you approve of girls be put on an allowance? Or do you think it is nicer for them to have accounts with the tradespeople and not be treated like children?
I should think that would depend. Would a check for $100 be enough for today? What did you have in mind to use it for?
I think you are very impertinent. I'm surprised that people in banks are allowed to ask such questions. Why should you concern yourself with how much money I want?
I was endeavoring to help you about your check.
Oh, yes, certainly. How could you possibly draw checks if you didn't know how much the checks were to be? I like checks much better than stripes or plaids. Lucille is making me a beautiful walking suit
That is the loveliest imported check that you ever saw. And checks are nice for men, don't you think? Is it for the hat or for the suit that you want to draw a check? Yes, of course. It is for the hat at Featherton's that I want the check. I'm afraid you will think I'm silly, but really I have so many things to think about that it's hard to keep my mind on just one thing. You must make allowances for girls who have so many things to think about. Of course, with a man like you, who only has checks and money to think about all day long, it is so easy. I'd be bored if I had nothing but money and checks all day. I should think it would be diverting to have somebody call and talk about something else. It is. Come now, let us make out this check. You must write the number first. Oh, isn't it exciting? Now wait, let me do it. You just watch out that it's all right. But are you sure you know how yourself? I'd rather have an expert to teach me. You know, nowadays, skilled labor counts in everything.
I assure you, I am competent in this manner, but I must beg you to make haste. Write the number in this blank.
What number?
Number one, of course. It's your first check.
There. I knew you were ready to tell everything. Suppose it is my first check. I don't want everybody to know it. Can't I begin with a larger number and then go right on?
Why, yes. I suppose you can, if you like, begin with 100.
Oh, I don't know. I guess I'll begin with 4,887. I can make lovely sevens. Don't you think 4,887 is a pretty number?
Very pretty, but
now you're wasting time. There, I've written the number. What next?
The date, please, and the year.
Well, I've written the date, but it's spilled all over the year space. It doesn't matter, though, because it'll be this year for a long while yet. And this check will be vouched, or whatever you call it, before the year is out.
But you must write the year.
But how can I when there isn't room?
Tear that up and begin a new check.
And waste all that money? Oh, I didn't want an account anyway. I told Daddy it would make me more extravagant. And you're so cross to me. And here I've spoiled a lot of my money the first thing.
Oh, no, miss. You haven't. There, there. Don't look so distressed. I'll make it all right for you.
You'll make it all right? How dare you, sir? Do you dream for a moment I'd take your money to replace my own losses?
Now, wait. You don't understand. This check is worthless until it's signed. Now we'll tear it out, so, and begin again. Make smaller letters and figures, can't you?
Oh, how cute that check comes out. And you just tear it by the little perforated dots, don't you? Let me tear one out.
Write it first. You'll probably spoil it and have to tear it out.
Oh, well, how unkind you are. And I'm doing my very best. Don't fault with me. Please don't.
Well, don't wrinkle your nose up like that. It looks like a crumpled rose petal. And don't write your name there. That's the place for the amount.
Oh, what a fuss. What does it matter? So long as all the spaces are filled. My goodness, the check's all done, isn't it? And it's quite entirely all right, isn't it?
Yes, it's irreproachable. How will you have the money?
If I take the money, do I have to give you this check?
Certainly.
Then I won't take any money, thank you. I want to take this check home and show it to Daddy. He'll be so pleased and proud. I know he'll keep it as a souvenir, and then he'll give me some of his money for that.
Shopping for postage stamps.
You keep stamps, don't you?
Yes, miss. What kind?
Why, I don't know, but I want something that will go well with blue notepaper.
Yes, miss. Do you want letter postage?
Of course. I want to post letters, not chairs or tables. Where are the letters to?
The United States?
Be careful, young man, or I'll report you for rudeness. I won't tell you where the letter is going. It's private correspondence, but it is in the United States.
Then you want a 2-cent stamp. Here you are.
Oh, red ones? Never. Do you suppose I'd put that sickly shade of crushed gooseberry juice on my robin's egg blue envelopes? Is this the nearest thing you have in 2-cent stamps?
The very latest style, I assure you.
Well, they won't do. Why, they aren't fit for anything unless to make a stamp plate with. Haven't you any blue ones?
Yes, we have a nice line of blue ones at 5 cents each.
Oh, the price doesn't matter. Let me see them, please.
Here they are, beautiful shade of blue.
Good enough shade, but it doesn't quite harmonize with my envelope. You see, they are sort of a greenishy blue, and your stamps are more indigo-ish. Do you expect any new ones in?
Well, not any different colors.
Oh dear, that's always the way. But maybe I could take some of these and dye them with my Easter egg dyes to match my paper. I did that with some lace and it worked awfully well. What's the lightest color you have?
These pale green ones are as light as any. But if you dye them blue, you can't use them.
Why not?
The government won't allow it.
How mean! As if it made any difference to them what color stationery people use. It almost makes me want to be a suffragette when I hear of such tyranny. Not that I'd really be one. I'm too fearfully afraid of a mouse. But I'd like to have a few rights about postage stamps. Do think the selection is very limited. There's more beauty and variety in cigar bands. Well, look at these violet ones. How much are they?
These are 3 cents a piece.
Two for 5 cents, I suppose.
Well, I could get violet notepaper and use violet ink, and then these stamps would do nicely. And they'd match your eyes fairly well, too.
Isn't that queer? Everybody says I have violet eyes, but really they're not a bit the color of these stamps, you know.
No? Look at me and let me see.
Well, no, they're not exactly the same shade, but they're violet eyes, all right.
How many stamps will you have?
2, please. But won't you give me them out of the middle of the sheet? Those around the edge seem a little faded.
We can't tear stamps out of the middle of a sheet.
Oh, yes, you can, if you try. If I ask you to try, I'll take that one and that one.
Well, I suppose it doesn't matter. This one, did you say? And this one?
Yes, please. Will you wrap them up in a neat parcel and send them? Good morning.
She goes shopping.
Why, Mr. Willing, good afternoon. How pleasant to meet you on the avenue like this. But what are you doing in the shopping district? Hunting bargain neckties? There, don't look so utterly galvanized. I didn't mean it. Besides, I know perfectly well why you're here. You came on the mere chance of meeting me. You needn't look so embarrassed about it. I don't mind being seen with you. I'm not a bit exclusive. Well, it was a shame to tease him. So it was. Now, as a very special favor, how would you like to go into prices with me while I shop a little? You don't seem awfully eager.
What? Walk up the avenue instead?
Well, we will afterward, but let's run in here just a minute while I buy a veil. It won't take any time at all, and then we can go for a walk.
Oh, what a crowd!
I do think the people get thicker every year.
Well, did you get through? I thought I'd lost you. When I saw you wedged in that revolving door with that fat lady, you looked so funny.
She was real cross, wasn't she? But you were so meek, I had to laugh. You look like a feeble-minded jellyfish.
Oh, now, Willy Willing, don't peeve. Smile a little, Itsy Bitsy.
Yes, you do seem to be the only man here. But I'm glad to have you. It is so nice to have a man to pilot one through a shopping crowd.
Oh, of course the floor workers are just for that purpose, but they can't go outside their diocese or whatever you call it.
Now you can go ahead and blaze a trail. The veil counter is over that way, I think. Anyway, it's quite near the ribbons and catty corner across from the artificial flowers.
Ah, yes, here we are at last. Now, I'll sit on this stool and you stand right by me. Don't let women push in between us, for I want your advice.
Oh, look who's here. Why, Toddie May, I haven't seen you since we were in Venice.
Do you remember Venice?
And those two long lines of Hoffman houses each side of the Grand Canal. Wasn't it stunning?
Yes, darling. How lovely to see you again.
Yes. Yes, I do. I do want to be waited on. But do wait a minute, can't you?
Yes, I want veiling by the yard.
There. That's the kind I want.
Oh, please don't let that woman carry it off.
Goodbye, darling. Must you go?
Yes, the large mesh kind. Oh, no, not the one covered with little blue beads.
I should feel as if I had turquoise measles.
I want a sort of gray, the shade they call frightened mouse, though why a mouse should ever be frightened. We're all scared to death of them.
There, Mr. Willing, do you think this one is becoming?
When I hold it up against my face, so.
Where's baby?
Beepo!
Oh, gracious, that floor walker thought I beepoed at him.
Mercy me, I have rubbed all the powder off my nose.
Oh, no, it won't hurt the veil.
I beg your pardon, madam. Did I push you with my elbow?
Indeed, I'm not taking up all the room. I'm fearfully crowded.
And I rather fancy I can try the effect of a veil if I want to.
Now, Willie, how do you like this one with the big polka dot?
Yes, I know only one dot shows. They're so big and so far apart. But polka dots are so fashionable. Do you know the polka is coming in again?
The dance, I mean.
They call it the panther polka?
Awful sinuous. Sort of stealthy glide. Makes you think of Sarah Bernhardt or Eleanor Week. But the best people have taken it up.
What? You're afraid they'll get taken up?
Oh, Willie, and how witty you are.
There. Do you like this veil? Don't you think it suits my hair?
Mr. Dow says my hair is a yellow pearl. I don't know what he means.
You like my face better without my veil?
How pretty of you. Now, just for that, I'll let you select one.
You'd select a bridal veil? Oh, fie, Mr. Willing.
You don't really.
Yes, I do want a veil.
Please show me some of your other styles. And Mr. Willing, what do you think?
At Gladys's wedding next week, she's going to have...
Certainly, my dear girl, I'm ready to look at your goods. But these are not the veils I want. Show me something newer. These are all...
Why, Gladys said that Polly Peters said... Do you remember Polly Peters?
Well, you'd never know her now. Slim! She's nothing but a spine!
Yes, my girl, I'm looking at your veils, but I want the piece that lady has just picked up.
Let's wait till she lays it down.
Now, Mr. Willing, you mustn't get impatient.
You men don't realize what hard work shopping is until now.
Oh, my gracious. I have to be at our culture class by 4:00.
There's a lecture on art uplift in the kitchen, and I know it will be fine.
No, I don't cook, but it's such a satisfaction to know that one soup is made in a Greek-shaped jug instead of a crude iron kettle.
Oh, no. I wouldn't wear a veil like that.
Why, Mrs. Bailey had one like that once, and the very day I saw her wearing it, I lost my amethyst hatpin. I've always considered a veil like that unlucky ever since.
Well, I don't seem to care for any of these veils. They're not a bit distinctive.
And a veil is such an important part of a costume. It dresses up the face so.
These patterns are most uninteresting.
Come on, Willie.
Let's go down to stores and look at veils there.
Shall us?
Why, you don't seem to want to go a bit. Now, don't go just to please me.
I thought perhaps you were interested.
Oh, do you want to go?
Do you know? I believe you men just love to go shopping, and you only pretend you don't.
I am sorry, dear, that your veils don't suit me, but of course, I can't buy what I don't want just to help the store along. You couldn't expect that, could you?
And anyway, I wasn't exactly buying a veil. I was just shopping for one.
A quiet afternoon.
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Willing? I'm so glad to see you. I was just saying to myself, it's such a dull afternoon, I'd be glad to see anybody.
Even me?
Now you're just fishing for a compliment, but you won't get it. Sit down in that big easy chair and we'll have a nice, quiet, comfy afternoon and you can talk to me.
I can do what?
Oh, well, I'll talk to you then.
I want to ask your advice about something.
I'm in a, well, sort of dilemma, and I want the judgment of a man of the world, an all-around knowing man, if you know what I mean. Oh, there's the telephone. Pardon me, Mr. Willing. I'll just see who it is.
No, you needn't leave the room.
It's probably Toddy or some of the girls. Hello?
Oh, hello. Is that you, Jack? Why, you dear boy. I'm so glad to see you. Hear you, I mean. What? Not really. Oh, the idea. Now, don't you flatter me like that. Oh, no, no, no. I couldn't possibly. Well, maybe. If you'll promise to be good. What now? Oh, no, Jack, you can't come up here now. I'm just going out. No, you didn't hear a man's voice exclaiming. That was Fido. Yes, he has a sort of human sort of bark. Well, yes, it is a little like Willy Willing's voice. He's a perfect puppy. What? No, of course, I mean Fido. No, Jack, you can't come now. I tell you, I'm going out. I have on my hat and coat already. Yes, that was Fido again. He always makes that queer sound when anybody telephones. Mr. Willing, you must keep still, or I won't tell all these fibs for your benefit. But I don't want our nice quiet afternoon intruded upon. Yes, Jack, come tomorrow. I have something I want to consult you about. I really need the advice of a... Mr. Willing, please step into the library for a moment. Look at the new books on the table. Yes, Jack, truly. I need the experienced advice of an all-round man of the world, like you. Oh, yes, you are. You're awfully well-balanced and all that. Don't talk when I'm talking. Wait till I ring off. Oh, Jane is just bringing me a card. Wait a minute, Jack. Why, it's Mr. Strong. I like that man awfully well. Show him in, Jane. Goodbye, Jack. No, I can't listen now. Goodbye. How do you do, Mr. Strong? Do sit down. Take this easy chair. I'm so glad to see you. Yes, isn't it dull weather? So good of you to come and brighten up an otherwise lonely afternoon. Excuse me, just a moment. There's a new book in the library I want to show you. Now, Mr. Willing, you must stay here till Mr. Strong goes, because if you show yourself, you'll have to leave here before he does. I won't. Hush, he'll hear you. Now, I won't be a bit entertaining to him, and he'll soon go. And then we'll have our nice, quiet afternoon. Now, will you be goody boy and stay here and not make a sound?
Yes, but I'll eavesdrop everything you say.
I don't care. I shan't mean a word of it.
And if you don't fire him pretty swift, I'll come in there and stir up a hurrah's nest.
There, there, little one. Rest tranquil. Read a nice pretty book or something, but don't smoke or he'll know somebody's in here. Yes, I'm so glad you came, Mr. Strong. What book? Oh, I was going to show you a book, but it wasn't there. Never mind. Let's just chat. I want to ask you something serious, you know. May I?
Oh, I don't know. You see, it's leap year.
Now, Mr. Strong, don't frivol. It doesn't suit your iron-bound countenance. And truly, I'm in earnest. You know, we women like to get the ideas of a man's brain. A man of judgment and experience. Well, what they call a man of the world. Oh, yes, you are. I often quote your opinions. They are so profound. Now, what I want to ask you about is... Oh, there's the telephone. Excuse me, just a tiny minute. No, don't go. Oh, hello. Is that you, Flossie? Darling girl, do come over, can't you? Yes, now. Right away. Oh, I wish you could. I want to hear all about it. Only last night? A ruby and diamond? Oh, heavenly. Well, come tomorrow morning, then. Yes. Yes, indeed, dearest. Goodbye, goodbye. Yes, I think so, too. Perfectly horrid, but oh... Of course, yes. Goodbye. No, nothing of the sort. Yes, I'll come right over. Goodbye. Oh, must you go, Mr. Strong? Well, yes, I did tell Miss Fay I'd go over to see her, but I meant after your call was over. Please don't go yet. You must? Well, come again, do. I always enjoy a talk with you. You're so, so profound, if you know what I mean. Good afternoon, Mr. Strong. Now come back, Mr. Willing. Didn't I tell you I'd get rid of him in short order? But he's such an everlasting talker. It's hard to make him go. Now we can have our nice, quiet afternoon. Excuse me just a minute first. I want to telephone just the leastest word to Toddie May. Oh, hello. Is this you, darling? What do you think? Oh, you know already? Did Flossie tell you? Oh, no, not really. Well, for gracious goodness sake. Yes, coral pink chiffon in one of those new smudge designs.
Oh, yes. A black chip Gainsborough with practically all the feathers in the world piled on it. No, Thursday afternoon. Why, about 5? Violets? Well, rather. Oh, Toddy. And yes, Mr. Willing is here, but he can't hear what you say. No, he doesn't mind waiting. Oh, Toddy, I can't believe it. Yes, she did. And she said that Billy said if she ever did such a thing again. Oh, Toddy, what do you think? Mr. Willing has gone. An Aesop fable, up to date. The milkmaid and her pail of milk. A milkmaid, having been a good girl for a long time and careful in her work, her mistress gave her a pail of new milk all for herself. With the pail on her head, she tripped gaily away to the market, saying to herself, "How happy I am! For this milk I shall get a shilling, and with that shilling I shall buy 20 of the eggs laid by our neighbor's fine fowls. These eggs I shall put under mistress's old hen, and even if only half of the chicks grow up and thrive before next fair time comes round, I shall be able to sell them for a good guinea. Then I shall buy me a Monte Carlo coat and an ermine stole, and I will look so bewitching that Robin will come up and offer to be friends again. But I won't make up too easily. When he brings me violets, I shall toss my head so and..." Here the milkmaid gave her head the toss she was thinking about, and the pail of milk was dislodged from its resting place on her head. But, being a member of a ladies' physical culture club, she deftly caught the pail and replaced it. All turned out as she had planned, and when Robin married her, he gave her an electric automobile. Moral of the story, don't discount your chickens before they are hatched. I hope that provided you with a chuckle or two. I know that is what Carolyn Wells intended. For more information about her, this book, and her other stories, you will find that information in the show notes. Thank you again for tuning into this episode of Wildflower Tales. Please subscribe for upcoming episodes where we'll uncover more hidden treasures from women of literature. Until next time, this is your host, Jenny Dallin, signing off. And just like wildflowers, may you thrive in unexpected places.